From WBHM News, I'm Andrew Yeager. There's one thing Alabama lawmakers must do during each year's regular session: pass the budgets. Legislators took up the education budget this week. The $8.1 billion spending plan passed a House committee Wednesday, and that's where we start our weekly legislative update with Todd Stacey. He's host of Capital Journal on Alabama Public Television. Todd, good to have you here.
Hey, good to be here.
This education budget is the largest in Alabama history that's not adjusted for inflation. But what are some of the highlights?
Well, you said it. It's the most money that has ever been spent in the Education Trust Fund in our history. It is about $500 million more than we spent in the current fiscal year. What passed out of the House committee is less than, about $126 million less than what the governor recommended. So clearly the House, they're trying to be more conservative. They're trying to put money away into rainy day funds. They're trying to pay off debt, with the idea being, yes, revenues are flush right now. You know, a lot of this has to do with some of the federal money that has come down and trickled down through the economy and into the, our tax coffers. So we have a lot of revenue, but lawmakers are cognizant that times might not always be so good. So you're hearing a lot about saving for the future, not spending it all at once. But look, it's a 4% pay raise for teachers and education employees. Basically, everybody's happy. You know, when you got a lot of money to spend, everybody pretty much gets what they want.
Everyone pretty much gets what they want. Do you see any rough waters ahead as this goes to the full House?
You know, it used to be you'd have these fights between higher education and K through 12, and how much do we expand pre-K by, and how much do we not. You're not really seeing that as much this year. Again, there's just enough money to go around. There is some talk about what the impact of some of these tax cuts might be. There are several tax cut bills floating around, and that would absolutely affect how much money there is in the budget. So that's really something to look for down the stretch of this session. What tax bills do pass, how much do they impact the budget, and do they account for that?
Well, also, standardized test scores indicate many Alabama students struggle with reading. That prompted lawmakers to pass the Alabama Literacy Act a few years ago to address the problem. This week, the Alabama Senate passed a bill that would do something similar for math. Todd, tell us about this Alabama Numeracy Act.
Yeah, and you really said it. It's, you know, when the last national report card came out, Alabama was next to last in reading. We were dead last in math. There clearly is a problem. They're calling it a crisis. So they're really trying to attack this problem. It's Senator Arthur Orr from Decatur. He has what he's calling the Numeracy Act, basically knowledge of numbers. It does a lot of similar things to the Literacy Act in terms of getting these math teaching coaches into schools. These coaches don't teach kids. They actually teach teachers. They are coaching teachers on the science of learning math. And so under this bill, every K through 5 school would have a coach. There are special resources and personnel dedicated to the lowest performing schools and some requirements for those schools, right? Some accountability to make sure that those low performing schools get their act together and improve math instruction.
Yeah, and I should point out that the Alabama Literacy Act has this provision that third graders can be held back if they don't meet certain benchmarks. This math-focused bill doesn't have that, but it sounds like the accountability is focused more at the school than the students.
That's right, and I asked about that. Mark Dixon, who is the president of the A-Plus Education Partnership, has been very involved in this bill. You know, why isn't there a similar holdback provision? And he said the science says that kids in learning math, they have more time. With reading, when those kids reach third grade, fourth grade, and they cannot read yet, it really impacts their ability to read going forward. The science says math is not the same, and so there's not a holdback provision, which has the added benefit of really making it a lot less controversial and probably more likely to pass.
Well, finally, a 2019 survey found nearly a quarter of females in U.S. high schools left school early because they didn't have access to feminine hygiene products. More than 10% skipped class for the same reason. A bill passed by the House this week attempts to address what's been dubbed period poverty. What would this bill do?
That's right. And this bill comes from State Representative Rolanda Hollis there in Birmingham. She originally wanted to provide, you know, feminine hygiene products to all high schools and all junior highs too, but that was deemed too expensive. So what they're doing now is focusing just on Title I schools. Title I schools are basically a high percentage of low-income students. So all Title I schools would have funding to get these feminine hygiene products. It was passed by the House this week. She expects to have the conversation in the Senate next week, maybe the week after, but a lot of momentum behind this bill.
Todd Stacey is host of Capital Journal on Alabama Public Television. He's also publisher of the Alabama Daily News. Todd, thanks for your time.
Thank you.